Okay, good morning, everybody. We're still in the middle of Chazara. The Mishnah says on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph that you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah if the matzah is treif. But if it's not exactly 100% kosher, it's not really treif, then you can't be yotzei. So the Mishnah gives an example of demai. If you have real tevel, even if it's only tevel derabanan, you can't be yotzei. The Gemara says, "Kivan shezar batzu chein anokuv." That it's only tevel midrabbanan, because the atzud chein anokuv is not gidulei haaretz. It's not yearning from Eretz Yisrael. It's not mechuberet Eretz Yisrael. It's not yearning from Eretz Yisrael because there's no nekiv on the bottom. So if you have tevel derabbanan, you're not yotzei. But if you have demai, then we paskin that you are yotzei. Why? So the Gemara said because there's a machlokes b'shamim b'silo. Where the machilim is anim demai v'esahsanya is achsanya demai, so we pass on like this hillel. Machilim is anim demai means that it's only even midirabbanan. It's not really treif. It's just a chumra midirabbanan. Demai is only a chumra, so that's not considered the treif. Okay, what does it mean anim anim? Okay, what's the definition of anani? What's the definition of an ani? A person doesn't have masayim zuz. That's how the Mishnahs have. Whoever is an ani is permitted to take lekin shikrapeya maiserani. Who is an ani? So who's not an ani? So if a person has a steady income, let's say he has a job and he doesn't have a penny of savings, but he has a steady income, and he makes ends meet at the end of every week, he covers all his expenses, that's called an ashir. Or if the fellow does not have a steady income, but he has Masayim Zuz in the bank. Masayim Zuz is 50 shkol, four zuzim in a shekel. Masayim Zuz is 50 shkol, and is the oinus of a fatah. That's 50 shkol. So that's... The Rishami says, why is Masayim Zuz the Iker Ksuga? The Chumash says, when one is Ma'anis on the Fatah, a girl, you have to pay Kesiv Ishkol, Kemar Habasulas. The girl would have been a Psula, from that, for the fact that he was Ma'anis on the Fatah, so she would have gotten married, she would have gotten a Ksuba of Chamishim Shekel, this Man Matan Tur, that was the practice. That's a machlekes hatanoim, where the ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. The Chumash has a din of oinus and mefatah is based on the fact that that was the minik by the umas oilam, is man matan tarid, and when a girl would be a psula, she would get married, the husband would be mishabed himself, that if she will become an almana, she tisalman or tisgare, she's going to pay her the ksuba. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether the fact that the dinim and the Torah are based on that assumption, does that mean that ksuba is deraisa? That amount of ksuba is a real din deraisa, even if you didn't write the girl a ksuba? Maybe ksuba is deraisa? No, that was the practice b'zman hatara, and the Rabban Shalom instituted the din of oinus and mefatah based on that, because he was ma'anus and mefatah her, so she's not going to get a ksuba later, she's not going to be a psula, she's not going to get a ksuba masagzuz. But that was the practice, but it's not a real din deraisa. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. A recurrent machlokes that appears a few times every 15, 20 blatant ksubas comes up again. Machlokes with the ksuba deraisa, lav deraisa. The minig by the Ashkenazim is that we write in the ksuba three parts to the ksuba. So the first part is the masayim zuz, and we write the chazi lichem in deraisa. So some balei ha-taisus, taisus, because the fact that you write that nusach in the ksuba, that's a right that we pass in ksuba deraisa. Ruba de Ruba of the Rishonim Paskin, not so Ksuba Lav Deraisa. And even though, let's say, out of a clear blue sky, I write a shtar, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000 and I give you the shtar. So according to Halacha, I have to give you the money. That's a machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish in Ksuba's Dav Kubdes and Menav. Chai Bani Loch Mane Bishtar. I write on the shtar, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000. So we Paskin like Rav Yechonim, that he's Chai, you have to pay. So even if you hold ksuba lav deraisa, you can say that's if he doesn't give her a document. But if he writes a ksuba and he gives her the shtar, so then it should be for sure it should be deraisa. So it says in Nesek Kenaman Eben Ezra, no, that even if he writes a shtar, it's also only the rabbanon. Ksuba is only the rabbanon. We have a lot of kulas. We call the ksuba shonutan. Gemara has an expression because ksuba is lav deraisa. There are certain kulas. Why is it not deraisa? Because when he wrote Tishta, he just meant the document, the din derabbanan. There is a din derabbanan hanging on his head. Ksuba lav deraisa. Ksuba is a takana derabbanan. So he wrote the ksuba. He wrote a document, the giver. Not he didn't have a mind to be kind of his chayvus monetary. He had a mind just it should be a shtar raya on the chiyum ksuba that the chachamim instituted. Rabbi Ben Chaim, the older Rabbi Ben Chaim, always makes fun of Ashkenazim that we write in the Ksuba the Chazim Lichem Deraisa because we pass in Ksuba Lav Deraisa. So the Sfardim don't have that line in their Ksuba. So he'll always offer you a Ksuba free of charge, a correct Ksuba that doesn't have that mistake in it. We assume it's not a mistake, even though we pass in Ksuba Lav Deraisa. Because the Ramoa in Ibn Ezra quotes the Rosh. The Rosh explains what kind of a lashon is that the Chazilich Mederaisa. We passing Ksuba Lav Deraisa. Rav Harishon Hol Ksuba Lav Deraisa. Why do we have that Nusach in the Ksuba? So the Rosh explains that the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in Dabshit Beis, and Pcheres, the end of Pcheres, that they used to have two monetary systems running concurrently in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Tanaim. Like we gave the Moshe, you have in the United States and Canada, you have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half a dollar, and a dollar. But it's not the same. The dollar, sometimes the Canadian dollar is worth more than the American dollar. Sometimes the American dollar is worth more than the Canadian dollar. It used to fluctuate back and forth. I don't know what it is now. But so in the days of the Tanaim, they had two monetary systems running concurrently. One was Kesef Tzuri, one was Kesef Medina. They had pennies, nickels, dimes, the whole system, everything the same. But every coin in the Kesef Tzuri system was worth eight times as much as the counterpart in the Kesef Medina system. So when the Mishnah said, when they're Adinim, that you have to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef by Yonis of the Fata, or if Sharamud kills an Eved Kanan, you have to pay Shloshim Shaleved, or whenever the Torah, Machtes HaShekel, whenever they're Adinim in the Mishnah, Adinim the Rabbanim, Adinim the Raisa. So which monetary system are they talking about? So the Gemara says it depends. Kol kesef ha'ma b'teira. If it's an amount of money that says in Chumash, namely chamishim shekel kesef, or shloshim shekel by shloshim shalevet, or machtzis ha'shekel, or shavet pruto, kiddushin shavet pruto. So whatever it's a din deraisa, it depends on the kesef tzuri system. But if it's a shel devrayim, if it's only a din derabbanan, the Mishnayos have that if I slap someone, I have to pay so much money. If I hit him on the ear and I hurt his ear, I have to pay so much money. Instead of making a calculation each time someone is chayil b'chaver, how much he has to pay, so the Mishnayos give you a fixed amount of money that the Chachamim said. So whenever it's an amount of money that the Chachamim instituted, then they, when they used the language, what amount of money, they meant kesef medina. They didn't mean kesef tzuri. When the Torah speaks about money, it means kesef tzuri. So the Shaila comes, if we paskin that ksuba is lav deraisa, so then it should be 50 shkolim kesef medina, because it's a din derabbanan. But it's a din derabbanan based on the minig bizman matan Torah, it's based on the pasuk in Chumash, chamishim shekel kesef bayon samavata. Kesef yishkol kemar habesulos, you have to give the amount that you would have given bizman matan Torah for ksuba. So the Chumash is talking about kesef tzuri. So when a boy marries a girl who's getting married for the first time, the girl was a psula, then the ksuba is lav deraisa, but the amount of money that he gives, the chamishim shekel kesef, which is 200 zuz, is kesef tzuri money, it's not kesef medina. If a girl is an almana or a grusha is getting married for the second time, then the ikka ksuba is money, 100 zuz, not 200 zuz. So usually we assume 100 is half the amount of 200. That's in high mathematics. 100 is half the amount of 200. Here it's not half the amount. Here it's 1/16 of the amount. Because the 100 zuz is legamre etakona derabonim. So the 100 zuz is kesef medina. And the 200 zuz that the psula gets is kesef tzuri. So it's twice as much, but the coins are eight times as valuable. So the amount that the psula gets for the ikka ksuba is not twice as much. It's 16 times as much as the amount that the almana, the grusha, gets for the ikka ksuba. It doesn't really make that much of a difference because the whole ikka ksuba is peanuts. The whole thing is very little. We add on, our practice is that we have three parts to the ksuba. So we add on tosefes ksuba, and you add on nedunya. We assess how much all the property that the girl brought into the marriage is. That's called the nichsei tzon barzel. We assess the value. The girl, when she gets married, has a lot of dresses. She has jewelry. She's 20 years old. So she bought a lot of jewelry before she gets married. So we assess all of the value of the property that she brings into the marriage at a higher amount of money. So that's not in coins that appear in the Gemara. That's coins in the days of the Maharil. That's German coins or Austrian coins. That's Zakukin. Meir Zakukin, the Masayim Zakukin. That's not Talmudic coins and it's not biblical coins. That's Zakukin. That's worth much more. And that, so you really should add up all the three amounts, the Ike Ksuba, the Tesefis Ksuba, and the Nedunya. So then we say Sach HaKol, the sum total of everything. So we only add up the second and the third. We only add up Masayim Zakukin Kesem. So let's say the girl gets married for the first time. So you say, you're adding on to Sefis Ksuba 100 Zakukin Kesem Tzorov, and you're assessing the value of all the property that she's bringing into the marriage, dresses and sheets. The mother bought her sheets, furniture, whatever. So you assess the value also Meir Zakukin. So you write Sach HaKol Masayim Zakukin. What do you mean Sach HaKol Masayim Zakukin? What happened to the Ike Ksuba? Just adding up the amount of the Tosefes, the amount of the Nedunya. So that's a Machlokes Achrayim. You're adding up all the three, then you only give the sum total of the second and the third. So some Achrayim say, Achanam, you have to give the whole amount. And others assume that no, you only, since you added so much for Tosefes and so much for Nedunya, you don't have to give the Ike Ksuba. That's absorbed. So it comes out that it's irrelevant, the fact that the Ike Ksuba is 16 times as much by a psula as it is by an amana, because you don't pay that anyway. You're going to pay the Sach HaKol. So the Sach HaKol is going to be by a girl who's getting married the first time, the Zayim Zakukin, and by the girl who's getting married for the seventh time, Sach HaKol Meir Zakukin gets it up. So Taka is going to be twice as much. It's going to be twice as much. And how much is that? That's a fortune of money. That's something like $100,000 now. Doesn't pay to get divorced because you got to pay a fortune of money. Okay, so how do we get involved over here? Yeah, so what's the definition of an ani? So the Rishonim says the reason why the Chachamim were misakin Ike Ksubas Masayim Zuz, why were they misakin it midirabana? Because when the girl becomes a grusha or an almana, you give her a year, you give her money to cover her expenses for a year. That's the average amount that you need to live on for a year. You give her a year, then she'll be able to find another shidduch. So that that's supposed to correspond to the amount that you need to live for a year. Today you need much more to live for a year. How much is Pidyon HaBet? Pidyon HaBet is 5 shkol. And how much is the Ike Ksuba? 50 shkol. So whatever the Pidyon HaBen is, you multiply it by 10. So the biggest chumer Pidyon HaBen, people give, let's say, $100 now. $100. So 10 times $100 is $1,000. $1,000 you can live for 1 year. You can't live for 1 year. So that's what Moshe Feinstein said. So you got to calculate how much there's a cooking on. The Ike Ksuba is like peanuts. There's nothing there. So getting back again. So the ani, what's the definition of an ani? An ani is either, one is not an usher. Who's an usher? So even the person has a steady income and every week he makes ends meet. Or if he doesn't have a job, but he has in the bank, he has in his savings, Masayim Zuz. Masayim Zuz is the amount of money that you need to live on for a year. Today it's going to be probably much more than Masayim Zuz. So that's the definition of an usher. So whoever is not an usher is considered an ani. What if a person is a wealthy person, but he doesn't walk around with his money? Today he walks around with a credit card, with a checkbook. In the days of Gemara, they had no credit card, they had no checkbook. So the guy doesn't walk around with all of his assets. So when an usher is shelo b'mkoma, Rashi quotes it over here. Here, take a look at the Rashi Lamed Hei on the base, about the 8 lines from the top. Areim kanim holi enam bimkoma achsanya. The Mishnah quotes the machlokes b'sham ebisulam where the machilam is anim demai, v'eso achsanya demai. So anim are anim. We know who's an usher. Whoever's not an usher is an ani. And what's achsanya? Achsanya means the soldiers in the army. Who are the soldiers? Are they Jewish or are they goyim? So it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosis. The Jewish soldiers, religious Jewish soldiers, are not allowed to eat treifas, but they're permitted to eat the mayim. Tosfos says, the Yerushalmi says, that the goyish are soldiers. Really, the Mefarshim and the back point that the Yerushalmi group has two opinions. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, just each one is quoting a different opinion in the Yerushalmi. So according to Tosfos, that is talking about achsanya shel nochrim, goyish are soldiers. So what's the problem? We had the Gemara in the beginning of Kol Shor that the tevel is muta bahana. It's only also b'achila. It's muta bahana. So what's wrong if you feed it to the goy? But the answer is the Gemara said you're not allowed to feed it to the behemoth either. So Tosfos asked the kasha, why not? But it's muta bahana. So Tosfos answered, no, anor shel kilu you're not allowed to get. If you're going to feed it to the goy, your soldiers or feed it to the behemoth, you're not going to be mafish chumas of isis. Then you're making an you're making it impossible to be mafid shumas amaisis. You're consuming it. If you have a sack of tevel and I'm going to sit rather than sit on the floor, I'm going to sit at an elevated like a chair. I sit on a sack of tevel. Okay, so you're getting hanor from tevel, not hanor shel kilui. So that's tevel is mutabana, but to feed it to the animals, to feed it to the goyim is hanor shel kilui. The Mishnah Melech quoted in Machlokes of Rishonim whether that din. Hanor shel kilui, is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Most of the Rishonim seem told that it's only a din d'rabbanan, and the minority hold that it's a real din d'oraisa. But there is such a din, so that's why there's an issue here. So because the mai is not a full-fledged iser tevel, it's only a chumra, so they would have a machmer about hanor shel kilui, by feeding it to the Goyish soldiers. According to Rashi, the soldiers are Jewish soldiers, so how come they're permitted to eat the mai? So Rashi quotes a din. They don't carry their checkbook with them. They don't have a credit card. The soldiers in the army are shalobim kamam. Their wives are home, and their wives have they have money stuffed in their mattress at home. But the way the soldiers are, they have no money. So they have a din. If an usher is traveling shalobim kamam, he has a din of an ani. That's a din in the Mishnayos. In my time, when I was a student here in Yeshiva, one of the rabbis was Rabbi Gerelick. He was a very colorful rabbi. So he used to have a shul in the Bronx across the bridge. And so once in a while, what he would be giving out Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah. So the students would walk over to hear him. He was a fiery speaker, an entertaining speaker. He's an entertaining rabbi also. So we would walk over. So then on Matzoi Shabbos, we would have to walk back home. So he would take money out of the shul pushka, and he would give it to the boys. And he said, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if an Asher is Shalobim Komo, what Rashi said here, he's quoting Mishnah. If an Asher is Shalobim Komo, on Shabbos we walked over, we didn't have money in our pockets. After Shabbos we were stuck. So rather than walk home, he would give us change from the shul's pushka. And he would say, we're not mechuyev to give the money back to the pushka, but only hayabos hashor. At that time you have a din of money. So that's what Rashi explains over here. That since Machilah Masaniyim Demai, they still hold Demai is only a Chumre Midrabbanan. It's not a real Din Midrabbanan. So Aniyim are permitted to eat Demai. So the Jewish soldiers in the army, even if they're wealthy, even if they have fortune and money stuffed away in their mattress, but they don't take the mattress with them. So an Asher Shalom Kama has a Din like an Ani. So that's what the Gemara says, that Demai is just a Chumre. So that's why it's not really considered the trait. If it would be treifa, even with the Rabbanan, Tevel told them with the Rabbanan, then you wouldn't be Yitzhak. Yeah. What kind of a din is this? What's wrong? Why is it if it's treifa food, you're not Yitzhak? But the Rambam says because it's a mitzvah bo ba'avera. That's what Tosfos says, that kasha. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? Mitzvah bo ba'avera. Why doesn't the Gemara say what the Rambam says? But the Gemara does not say. The Gemara says because you can only be Yitzhak matzah if it's bo ledechimutz. It was not bona dechim, it's not, and that's why you can only be yotze matze. Eilad vam shorem etzi dechavosu betesa. Only the chameshes mini dog, and aboyim medechim. They experimented, they tested it out, and it turns out they're only chameshes mini dog. So not only they need boim medechim, it's possible to have that chemical reaction that we call chimut as opposed to sirchon. You have to have boim medechim sirchomet. And we have a din, ein iser chalal iser, the machlokes hatanaim, and we assume like that, ein iser chalal iser. It's apparently, it's learned that from a pasuk. The Rishonim discuss where exactly is the pasuk, but if you look through all the Gemaras, there will be a pasuk in Chulin, in Perakol Abasa, we learned last year. So the Gemara has a pasuk there. And there are several exceptions to the rule. We paskan halach lemaisa. There were three exceptions to the rule. Even though enis and chalalisa, there are three exceptions. One exception to the rule is if the two yisur machal bevasachas. So it's not a violation of enis and chalalisa. They were both chal simultaneously. So hey menai mafkas, what are you going to say? Neither is chal. Why should you say arbitrarily one is chal, not the other? They're both chal simultaneously. So if you have an isa basachas, then they're both chal. You get malchus on both. But if first one would be chal, then the next day the other one would be chal. Tosis even says there's a Tosis in Yevamos, if the second isa is chal terch de dibur of the first isa. So it's not considered, that's considered the basachas. The halacha doesn't work with the split seconds, such a tiny unit of time. If it's such an amount of time that it's less than Tokedei Dibur, that's considered the Vasachas. The Gemara has a strange din in the end of Nidorim. Gemara has a din. A person's relative is at his deathbed, and the relative turned over and he gasped, and the person thought that his relative died, so he rips kriya. After he rips kriya, then the relative dies. Then he turns over again, and then he dies. So he wasn't yotzei kriya. He ripped kriya when the person was still alive. So the Gemara says, not so fast. If the person dies, terch kedei dibur of the surviving relatives ripping kriya, then it's considered the vasachas in his yotzei. We would have, if not for the Gemara, you would have thought that you have to rip kriya after the person dies. You can't rip kriya before, but the Gemara says, no, if you rip kriya simultaneously is good. And even though it's bizarre hazeh, and the ripping of kriya preceded the death of the relative, but if it was terke de dibur, that's considered as if it's bevasachas. So the halacha doesn't recognize such a small amount of time. Just a few seconds doesn't count. That's the question, how many seconds is terke de dibur? Okay, so the Gemara has a discussion. Is it kadeh shelas tamid l'rabba, kadeh shelas rabba l'tamid? Is it a longer greeting or a shorter greeting? Yeah. So Tosis has such a chiddush. Ein isa chalal isa, if the first isa preceded the second isa, if it only preceded it by less than terkedei dibur, that's considered an isa basachas, and they're both isur machal. What if it's clearly bizach hazeh? The first isa was chal first, the second isa is chal second, then the second one is not chal. So the Gemara has a machlek, the second one is not chal at all. Or you say, no, it's only not chal for malchus, for nisa, for chatos. Let's say, if the second one was chal, then there's going to be kares. Or the first isa also had kares, and there will be a violation of two isa kares. And he violated the shegeg. Does it bring one chatos, or does it bring two chatos? So do you say, ein isa chal al nisa only means with respect to onshim, that you don't get malchus for the second isa, you don't get nisa for the second isa, you don't get kares? And the Mela Kores is a shayla for the Bezen Shalmaila. What are we paskening? But it's relevant for the Bezen Shalmata also, whether we tell him he has to bring a chatos, because he violated the second Aver of the Shege. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Yevamos. But the Ein Isa Chal Al Isa is only been a get to Onshin, but Lekover Ben Rishon Gemurim, the second Isa, Yishchal Adinis, now that buried Tzadik Eitz Al Rosha. You're not allowed to bury a. Most people do Averis, but you're not allowed to bury Tzaddikim next to Rishon, those who do more Averis than others. Who's keeping track? Who knows how many Averis? We assume all the people from the Mizrahi probably do the same amount of Averis. All the people from Torah Vadas probably do the same amount of Averis. All the people from Chaim Berlin probably do the same number of Averis. So each group has their own base of Torah. So the Aguda has their own, and the Turekarta has their own, and the Mizrahi has their own cemetery. We assume that probably all the people who belong to that group probably have the same level of errors. But let's say someone's keeping track, and you know that one person did 100 of errors during his lifetime, one person did 101 of errors. So strictly speaking, if you really know, then you're not allowed to bury the two next to each other. Eikov and Tzadik Eisal Rosh. So what if the both people did only 100 of errors, but one of them, the 100th Avera that he did was a case of Ein Isa Chal Al Isa. So there's really 101 Averas, but he doesn't get Malkus on Nisa or Koris for the second Avera. Do you say the second Avera wasn't Chal at all? Or do you say, no, look over Ben Rishon Gemurim, the second Avera was Chal, it's just a din for Onshin. So that's a machloikus on the Gemara. The Pashtun says that we assume the second Avera is Chatan. It's only a din for onshit. That's the Pashtus. But it's a machlokes hatanaim enigma. So again, so the rule, there are three, there's a rule, Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. There's such a din by Tumah also. Ein Tumah Chal Al Tumah. If something is already Tameh, and then you Metameh the second time, so the Gemara has an expression, Sobol Al Tumah, is saturated with Tumah. It's already saturated with Tumah, then the second Tumah is not Chal. The Gemara gives Nafkaminas for that, that the second Tumah, what's the difference? It's Tameh anyway. The Gemara gives Nafkaminas. So that's similar to the din of Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. So again, what are the three exceptions to the rule? So one of them is Issa Basachas, that you can't argue with. The other one is, if the second Issa is an Issa Moisif, the first Issa was Ein Issa Chal. The first Issa, let's say, according to Tosfos, let's say, the first Issa was only an Issa Achila. You have a live animal. If the live animal is also b'achila, whatever the iser is, the discussion Rashi and Tosfos, but that's what Rav Huna says. I'm Rav Huna. But if you magdish the animal, then it's not only also b'achila, then it's also b'ano. So the iser hegdish is chal on top of the iser achila. So the Tosfos says why? Because iser ano on top of achila is an iser moisif. It's adding something, a new dimension of the Issa that didn't exist before. It's Issa Chalal Heta, because before it was Muta Bano, and now it becomes Asa Bano. So that's an Issa Moisif. If the second Issa includes more than the first Issa, what happens if the second Issa is exactly the same as the first Issa? But the second Issa is Chal Amochatichas. Take the example here in the Gemara. When Yom Kippur enters, Leil Yom Kippur, so half of the food in the world, half of the food in the world is kosher food, half of the food in the world is trefa food. So when Yom Kippur enters, is the Issa Yom Kippur. When you eat on Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Koris. So let's say you eat chazer on Yom Kippur. The Issa Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. Since it's chazer, so everybody has a lav, so the Issa Yom Kippur is not chal, because Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. So then let's say if a person will eat chazer on Yom Kippur, b'shogeg, he won't be chayv chatas. That's what Rav Shimon says. Echon nevela b'yom kippurim, potter is not chayv chatos. Rashi writes, potter michatos. He's going to get malchus if he eats the chazer b'mezer. If he eats the nevela b'mezer, he's going to get malchus because he's eating chazer, he's eating nevela. But if he eats it b'shoigeg, the question is, will he be chayv chatos or not? So if you hold ein iser chal al iser, so then Yom Kippur is not going to be chal on top of the chazer. So that's what the... That's what we mentioned, that Rebbe Yehuda says, according to Reb Shimon, if unless that person is a chayla mesukan on Yom Kippur, he has to, the doctor say he has to eat some food, it's a suffix. If he doesn't eat, he may lose his life. So would we recommend, so the Gemara says, the end of Yuma, machila mosa, hakala kalchila. If a person has to do another, let's say, you have to be mechal Shabbos to save someone's life. You have two ways to be mechal Shabbos. Either you drive the car yourself, or you get a reliable goy to drive the car. Samir the Nochri is only the Rabbanon. If I drive the car myself, it's a Malacha Deraisa. It's better to get the Goy to drive the car. Sometimes we'll be afraid. Maybe the Goy won't be conscientious enough. Maybe he'll schmooze. Maybe he'll waste time and the patient will die as they're going to the hospital. So that's why sometimes we would not recommend to have the Goy drive the car. We would recommend you should go yourself because the patient may die if the Nochri is not so serious and he won't be conscientious. But if he's a conscientious Goy, he's just as conscientious as I am. So that's Hakala Kalchila, rather than violating Nisa Deraisa, violating Nisa Derabbanan. Let's say Yom Kippur. A person has to eat, otherwise he's going to die. He doesn't have to eat the whole meal now within 15 minutes. If he eats a tiny chotzishir now, and he'll wait a few minutes, then he'll eat another chotzishir, wait another few minutes, eat another chotzishir. Chotzishir is asman atar, but there's no kares. So why should we allow him to eat the whole meal now, and he'll violate an Issa Kores? He has a heter pikuach nefesh, but if he can save his life by doing a lesser avera, that's called machila mosa hakala kalchila. Let him do the lesser avera, lesser of the two averas. So chotzishir is asmanator, but there's no kores. So that's why we often recommend, we don't always say like that, we often recommend machila mosa hakala kalchila, should eat pachas mekishir. Let him eat a little bit and wait a few minutes, eat a little bit more, and it won't be mitzvah yachad, it'll come out, he only violated. Chatzishir didn't violate a shir sholem. That's what there's a famous psak from Abchaim Soloveitchik They say the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It's really from Rav Chaim Baal Ozhinah. That if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says in the Mishnah Berurah also that people always skim over, they miss that Mishnah Berurah. That if the person is already, if the person when it comes Yom Kippur is a healthy person, we're just afraid if he's going to fast, he may get very sick. So then you have to try to eat hakal hakal tchila. So tell him to eat pachas pachas mikashir. Tell him to eat a little bit, and wait a few minutes, and you eat some more, and wait a few minutes. Each time, you eat less than a shir. But if the person is having chemotherapy, he's a chela mesukan. He is b'sakona, and we're trying to pull him out of this sakona. And then part of pulling him out of the sakona that he should eat healthy meals. Then if he already is a chela sheish b'sakona, so then there's a magid mishnah that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you let him eat just like on a weekday. But if you're eating on Yom Kippur, you let him eat like on a weekday, you have no restrictions at all. You don't say hakala kal tchila. So that's, so Rav Soloveitchik told over this story that when his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, took his first rabbinical position in Europe, in America he wasn't the rabbi, in America he was a rabbi in the yeshiva. But in Europe he had a rabbinical position. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his father, made him shake his hands and promise him that he'll paskan like his psak. That he, if there'll be a chayla misukan on Yom Kippur, he'll tell him to eat regular meals, not to eat pochas pochas mikashir. Most of the rabbanim don't pass him like that. Rav Kook used to pass him like that also, because that was a psak hamakubo in Valojan. Rav Kook learned in Valojan. The Netziv used to pass him like that also. And the Netziv quotes this. The Netziv wrote a commentary on the Shiltas when he was a teenager. So he writes in his commentary on the Shiltas that when he came to the yeshiva, the Nachlas David was still alive. Rav David Tebel, who was later the rabbi in Minsk, was still alive. Rav David Tebel had learned Nachlas David wrote a sefer on Bava Kama Bavim Tzir. So the Nachlas David went to Rav Chaim Volozhin. He was in the beginning when he first founded the Volozhin Yeshiva. He said that was the Psak HaMakubah from Rav Chaim Volozhin. That if the person like that Magid Mishnah, that if the person is already a Chol Sheish B'Sakona, he already is sick and we're trying to pull them, not that he's healthy, he may get sick. He already is sick, we're trying to pull them out from the sickness, then you don't do kalakal tchila, you let him eat regular meals. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that Magid Mishnah. So there's a long bir halacha where he says you shouldn't follow this psak in the Shulchan Aruch, and he brings a whole bunch of rice. So Rebbe and Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam a whole response. Why all the Mishnah Berurah's kashas are not shver? All the cases that the Mishnah Berurah quoted were healthy people who are not sick yet. And Rav Chaim only said this, the Magid Mishnah only says when the person is already a chayla mesukan. They're two different cases. Yeah, so again, so the Nadi Behuda has this funny tshuva. He says, halacha l'maisa. If a chayla mesukan has to eat on Yom Kippur, rather than tell him to eat kosher food, we should tell him to eat non-kosher food. Because the non-kosher food will only have an isa chazan. It'll have an isa nevela. It won't have an isa koris of Yom Kippur. But if you tell him to eat kosher food, so then the kosher food is going to have an isa koris. So Hakala kal tchila should require that he should eat davka the treifa food. It's a pele dikat shuvah that in Yehuda. We don't pass on like Reb Shimon. This over here. The top line, halacha the bel me'am kiyah potter alem. We don't pass on like Reb Shimon. We pass on in this case, Isa Chalal Isa Yom Kippur is Chalal Tatot Chazer because it's an Isa Kailo. When Yom Kippur comes, you have half of the food in the world is kosher, half of the food in the world is treif. So since the Isa Yom Kippur is Chalal the kosher food, it's also Chalal. You can't say the Isa Yom Kippur is not Chal, period. It's Chalal the kosher food. So since the Isa Yom Kippur, Isa Achilan Yom Kippur is Chalal the kosher food, so Nigud that it's Chalal the kosher food, it's Chalal the treif food as well. So that's Reb Shimon disagrees. The Gemara in Yevamos presents it that Reb Shimon agrees Isa Moisif. He just disagrees by Isa Basachas and Isa Moisif. He agrees just Isa Kailal. He doesn't agree. And we paskan that all three are Isa Chalal Isa, Isa Kailal also. So that Nadi Behuda is very strange. What does he write of Tshuva Alocha Lamaisa? He's recommending it's better for the Chayla Mesukan to eat the non-kosher food. We don't pass on like Rav Shimon. If he would have held like Rav Shimon, he would say like that. Here, Rashi is bothered with Akasha. Why did he say every Yochan Nevela b'Yom HaKippurim is Ein Isa Chalal Isa? It depends when did it become an Nevela. If it was an Nevela before Yom Kippur entered, then the Isa Yom Kippur is not Chal. What if it was a live animal before Yom Kippur? and it drops dead in the middle of Yom Kippur. So if Nisnabla b'Yom HaKippurim, then I should say it should be an Issa Basachas. The Issa Nevela is Chal when the animal dies, and Issa Yom Kippur will be Chal. Eime b'chaya b'cheskes Issa HaMeres had a different Issa. But that Issa no longer exists once the animal dies. So once the animal dies, it should be an Issa Basachas. That's what the issue here. The Rashi says no. That since the Issa Yom Kippur is Chal Bein HaShmashes of Knesset Hayom, and Bein HaShmashes, the animal had an Issa on it, Rashi said the Issa Eid Menachai. That's the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in a different Mesichtas. Rashi always writes like that. Omer Rapuna Behemah B'chaya B'cheskes Issa Emet is the original memo of Rapuna is whenever you have a Sofik in the Shechita, a Shechit Shechted an animal, he's not sure that he did a good job. He's misupit. Maybe he made it in the veil, and maybe he didn't. So if the suffix the rice and the chumr, but Rabun is not a suffix. It's a vada yisr. He'll get malchus. If you eat something that's a suffix yisr, it's suffix the rice and the chumr, but you don't get malchus. But if the behema b'chaya b'cheskas yisr and menes, if it has a cheskas yisr, then you paskan that it's yisr b'taras vada, and you would get malchus. Why is behema b'chaya b'cheskas yisr ad yisr? What yisr does it have? The Rashi said, "Beches kasisa eid menachai." This is not happy with Rashi. A live animal is a bundle of eid menachai. Eid menachai is when you detach a limb from the behemoth. The cold man is walking around. It's not an eid menachai. That's a machlekes Rav Reichan and Reish Lakish in the end of Perigid Anasha in Chulin. The Reish Lakish holds like that. Behemoth b'chaya lo ivor menachai. A live animal is a bundle of eid menachai. And we don't pass like that. We pass like Rav Yechonin. It's not an Eid Menachai until they detach a limb. So Rashi is problematic. Why Rashi says Eid Menachai? And this motivates Tosis to say a different shot. Eimah b'cheya b'chel k'nsis ha'medes is an Issa Eino Zvucha. Where is there a pasuk that says Eino Zvucha Zasa? So that's Tosis claims like that. It says on the side to look in the Tosis Shvus Chavdala Menapli Mascha Ha'echel where they're not so convinced that there's such an Issa of Eino Zvucha. They were medaikas from the pasuk. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, if you want, you'll live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and you can't come every day to bring a Korban Shlomim. So it says, Kisava Nafshecha Lecha Basa, it's called Besar Taiva. The meat that we eat in America is called Besar Taiva, because that's the Loshan HaPasik. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, Kisava Nafshecha Lecha Basa, B'chalavas Nafshecha Tizbach Lechalta Basa. So Tosfos understands tizbach liachalto. You can only eat it if you shecht it properly. If you didn't shecht it properly, it'll be an isa nevela, but there'll also be an isa rase. In addition to the isa nevela, you'll have an isa rase. What do you need an additional isa rase? If you have an isa nevela, you get malchus. Isa rase, alav abba machalal rase, you don't get malchus. So what do you gain? No, you gain that the animal, while it's alive, is not an isa nevela. Ve'eme b'chayeo, the Cheskas Yisra Medes has the Yisra Eidah Zvucha. If you understand the Pasuk like that, that's it. That's what the Tosfos and Shavuos are not so convinced that they're right, that there's included in the Pasuk as an Yisra said, Eidah Zvucha. But if you say Eidah Zvucha, so that's Behema B'chaya, the Cheskas Yisra Eidah Zvucha. And Yom Kippur can't be Chal on top of the Yisra Eidah Zvucha. Yeah. That's a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush, that there is an Yisra Yisra Eidah Zvucha, and that Ein Issa Chal Al Issa even applies if the Issa Harishim was only an Issa Esse, even though the Issa Harishim was not a Lois Esse. So we mentioned the Prima Gadim in his introduction to Hilcha Shechita points that out, that it's a Chiddush of the Balei HaTos, and other Rishonim disagree. The Rashi has a Chiddush over here. The simple Pshat, one could interpret, some suggested another Pshat, but the simple Pshat in Rashi, it sounds like he's saying, the Issa Yom Kippur is Chal at Knesset Hayom, of Bein HaShmashus of Tchilas Hayom. We know that that's the din, their dinim, their rabbanon like that. We have a din, Migidus Katzor to Bein HaShmashus, is Katzor to Kuliyan. Mukta depends on Bein HaShmashus. What's another din? That they go chutz le Tchum. The whole din of Tchum, we assume, is only with the rabbanon. So Tchum is Nikva, you kind of shvisa Bein HaShmashus. Or let's say you live in an apartment building, and every family lives in a different apartment, and the hallways are shared by everybody. So that's like a chotzer. So you know, like Minatera, the whole apartment building is one big Rishus HaYochid. There were walls around it. Whenever there are walls around it, it's a Rishus HaYochid. Whether it's a Takana Shleim HaMelech, that the Gemara talks about at length in the beginning of the second Perek and Erevin, So when Amalek made a takon and a baskal came out from heaven and gave him a big yashukach, Chochem b'ni, al-kenyis makli b'gamoni, a pasuk in Mishlei, that Mirashamayim, they approved of the takon of Shlom Amalek that he needed a rubi chatzeris in order to carry. So the rubi chatzeris has to be there b'en ashmashes. If you make the rubi chatzeris on Shabbos, it doesn't help. And if he made it on Erev Shabbos and it was eaten up before Shkia, also no good. Has to be kainish b'en ashmashes. So we know for the din of Mamukze, we know Shabbos hold the hutra nesu. There are a lot of din that depend on b'en ashmashes. Is this rooted in a din deraisa or is it only din of derabban? So that was a big machlokes. There was a great goyin who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, even known as the Kozher Glover. Rabarye Frommer, I think his name is. When you go to the goddess in the library, so 5A, next to the elevators, they have his picture. Apparently his brother survived the war. And his brother, he was a chassidish. He wouldn't have helped from Yeshiva University with a college and a secular education. But his brother came to America, his brother donated money, and he dedicated 5A floor in memory of his brother. So he wrote this. Kozher Glover was a rabbi in Kozher Glover before the First World War. And then I think the First World War, the whole city was destroyed. So when Rabbi Meir Shapiro founded the Lublina Yeshiva, that was a big chiddush. A yeshiva with a dormitory, with a cafeteria. It's a kula chiddush. They never had that. So when he founded the Lublina Yeshiva, he invited the Kozher Glover Gaon to be the chief magid shir. So he has in his sefer that this, he himself, the Kozher Glover, was a Talmud of the Sachet Shavir Rebbe, of the Avnei Nezer. And he speaks with big respect of him. So he quotes, this was a machlokes between the Sachet Shavir Rebbe and the Chechen Avir Rebbe. Two tzaddikim, two big Talmidei Chachamim. Chechen Avir Rebbe wrote a commentary on Siddur that's called Tzelusa D'Avrom. It's supposed to be very good. My father told me he was very good. I never looked at it. But there's supposed to be a good pirish. So they had a machlekes on the level of their isa. Why is it asad? When does it become asad to do malacha on Shabbos? When does it become asad to eat on Yom Kippur? So the Sochet Shavu Rebbe held, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Raisa Tikkun Rifnei the Rabbanan. They said that you kind of shvisa ben ashmashes for tchumen purposes, for heruvah chatzeres purposes, migadis katzoyed ben ashmashes for mukta purposes, everything depends, and sometimes you have the reverse migadis katzoyed. If something was not mukta ben ashmashes, then it doesn't become mukta in the middle of Shabbos unless it smashes. Let's say a poor man has old torn clothing. Poor man, that's how he wears. He has shmatas, he wears shmatas. Then in the middle of Shabbos, he finds out that he won the Irish sweepstakes. And he's going to be a multimillionaire. So he takes all the clothing that he has, 10 suits in the closet, he throws them all in the garbage on Shabbos. So the Gemara says they don't become mukta. Since in the beginning of Shabbos they were not mukta, nothing changed. He just became a millionaire. So he's going to throw all this, the suit that he's wearing on Shabbos, he's going to wear till he gets a new suit. Okay? But all the other 10 suits he throws in the garbage. So the Gemara says, whatever was mutter ben ashmashes doesn't become mukta on Shabbos unless you have something smashed. If you have a bottle and it's smashed in the middle of Shabbos, and now it's mukta, became a piece of junk. But if nothing changed, just that his situation changed, then it can't become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. So the ben ashmashes is kaveya ben lahakam ben lahachmer. So the Avdei Nezer, Rav Soloveitchik, liked this because he must have read it. He had a lot of ideas that he picked up from the Avdei Nezer when he was younger in Europe. So the Avnei Nezer holds that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Raisa Tikkun, the Din Men HaTorah is that Ben Hashmashes of Tchilo Shabbos is the Oyser of Malacha. And then Rav Soloveitchik gathered on more, he explained a lot of Gemaras with this. And the Chachan Abba Rebbe disagreed, said, no, what do you mean the Ben Hashmashes? Every moment of Shabbos has Kedusha Sayyam. So every minute there's Kedusha Sayyam, said Asas Ben Malacha. So the Kozher Glover quotes this machlokes between the Sachet Shavu Rebbe and the Chechen Avir Rebbe, and he says, if you look in the Rosh, the last page of my cut, and this is a machlokes between the Rosh and the Maharam Rutenberg, his Rebbe. Maharam Rutenberg held, like the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, that the Ben Hashmashes of Tchilo Shabbos is the Oyser, and the Rosh disagreed. He said, what What motivated the Rebbe to say Be'eros Moshe is the Isa? Every minute of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayom. So it could well be that that's what Rashi means here. Could be that the others gave a different shot. Could be that that's what Rashi means. Since Be'eros Moshe, when the Isa Yom Kippur is Chal, this was Behema B'chaya B'chaz Kesisa, whereas the Isa Yom Kippur wasn't Chal. So then it, even though the Behema dies in the middle of Yom Kippur, you really should have said, it's an Issa Basachas, the Neveila with Yom Kippur Chal together. So it could be that that's what Rashi means. Yom Kippur can't be Chal in the middle of the day. If you say Yom Kippur wasn't Chal the first second of Yom Kippur, then it's not Chal later. So it's like Muktzah. Something can't become Muktzah in the middle of the day, unless it smashes, unless something changes. But if everything is the same as it was before, then the Isurim the Rabbanan are not Chal. So it could be that that's what Rashi means. Very questionable. It's a Chiddush. Anyway, so again, so what's the basis of the din and the Mishnah? So the Rambam says you can't be yotze with trei for matzah because mitzvah bo ba'aver. But the Gemara never said that. And Tosfos asked that question. Tosfos Sukkah is, why don't you say mitzvah bo ba'aver? It's an easy reason. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, just like you need bole de chimutz, and that's why you need chameshes mirei dogan. If it's not bole de chimutz, it's not. So it has to be bole de isa chametz. It has to be able to be bole de isa chametz. So if you hold Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, the Iser Chametz won't be Chal on the Iser Treifus, so that's not Bole De Iser Chametz. Why? But it will be Bole De Iser Chametz. The Iser Chametz will be Chal when Pesach enters. You have all the food in the world is divided into two groups. Some is Chametz, some is not Chametz. If you have Chametz, the sum of the Chametz is Treif, the sum of the Chametz is not Treif. So shouldn't you say that it should be chal with an isa koilo. The isa chametz is chal on the kosher food. So migu that the isa chametz is chal on the chulin, it should also be chal on the tevel. The isa chametz should be chal on the tevel because of an isa koilo. Once it's chal on the heta, like when Yom Kippur is chal. So migu that the isa Yom Kippur is chal on the kosher food, it's chal on the treifa food. So here also, there's a lot of chametz in the world. Some of the chametz is treif for another reason. It's tevel. Could be kerem, whatever, and some of the chametz is only chametz. So migu that the isa chametz is chal on the chametz, on the kosher chametz, and should be chal on the treif of chametz as well. So the Gemara says anachanami. The Mishnah only goes like Reb Shimon. So that's a pellet. Stam Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon, but we don't pass on like Reb Shimon. We pass on that there are three exceptions to the rule. The rule is any chal on isa, and we hold all the three exceptions, not only isa basachas, even moisif. Is a kailal also. So that's what motivated, we understand, that's what motivated the Rambam to give his reason, that it's mitzvah bo ba'aver. But the Gemara doesn't say that. That's the problem. The Gemara sounds like it's saying, the Mishnah only goes like the Tana Reb Shimon. We don't pass on like Reb Shimon, so we shouldn't pass on like this Mishnah. Yes?
The exceptions like Inis Rechal also apply like Tema?
The Gemara never puts the two together, but sometimes it's like Issa Moisif. Yeah, the second tumah is going to be something much more than the first one, then it will be Chal. Let's say the first tumah, it was the thing became a Sheni Letumah, and then the second time around, it's going to become a Rishon Letumah, it's going to become an Abba Tumah, if that's possible. So then the second tumah will be Chal, because it's adding much more. A whole new dimension that wasn't there before. I don't know if you can have the Iser Koilo, but the Iser Moisef you can have.
Isn't that the Feirish Mishnah in Yom Sakir regarding the Kohanim when they would burn?
Yeah. The Tumah can be Chal, yeah. Tumah can be Chal. Yes?
Why wouldn't Mitzvah Bava verify it?
Yeah, that's a question. What's the definition of mitzvah bav avera? So Tosfos gives the definition that if a person did an avera which enabled him to do the mitzvah. So he ate the tevel, and that's how he was yotzei the mitzvah matzah. So that should be mitzvah bav avera. But there's a ritva in Sukkot, and it's based on a Yerushalmi, seems to give a different definition from Tosfos. Not the way Tosfos says, mitzvah bav avera. If the avera enabled you to do the mitzvah. A different definition. That a cheftza shel avera if I already did, let's say, a lulav agozel, I stole the lulav, so I have a kinyan gzela on the lulav. If I steal karka, let's say someone built a sukkah in his backyard, and I chase him out of his sukkah, and I threaten I'm going to kill you if you come into the sukkah. So he doesn't come in. He doesn't want me to kill him. So I stole his sukkah, but it's mechuba the karka. So the Gemara says, the way we paskin the karka in and exelas, so it's not called the sukkah of zula, and you're yotze with it. So the Ritvoy asks, what do you mean you're yotze? But it's a nitzo babavera. He stole the karka. There is an isa gezel on karka. Rashi and the Rama both quote from the Sifra and the Sifrei that if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael, you're in violation of a double isa. An isa of a sigzol and an isa of masig lulasasig goliachab and achaloscha shatinchal. If you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael from someone else, it's an additional law. If you steal an automobile in Eretz Yisrael, it's only lo sigzol. If you steal karka of the chutzlar, it's only lo sigzol. But if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael, in addition to the lo sigzol, it's also an iser of masigvul. Tosis writes in the beginning of Perek the Perek of Aribis, what's it called? Zel Neshech. The first daf in Zel Neshech. So Tosis writes that Karkain and Exelus, there's no love. So the Meforshim al ask, it's against the Sifra and the Sifra. Rashi and Chumash quotes it, and the Rama quotes it. Pashto says that there is an Issa lo sigs on the karka, not like Tosis. Yeah, so that's the shot up. There is an Issa lo sigs. Why is he not considered a mitzvah b'avera? The other guy built this sukkah, and I chase him out of the sukkah. I stole it. So since karka ain't an exelus, it's a sukkah shulah, it's not a sukkah gzula. But still, I violated lo sigs. So that's what the Ritva quotes a Yerushalmi, that's not the definition of mitzvah b'avera. Mitzvah b'avera does mean I did an avera and that enabled me to do them. It's a mitzvah b'avera. Let's say a man is mezana with an eshes ish and she has twins. She has a boy and a girl. So am I yotze piri b'rivya? I violated an isa karis. I had an affair with someone else's wife. But I accomplished. I have a son and a daughter from the mamzerim. But am I yotze piri b'rivya? So the din is yotze. It's a min haschinach. As all discussion, why don't you say mitzvah b'avera? So this Yerushalmi that the Ritva quote says, the definition of mitzvah b'avera is something, it does mean I did an avera that enabled me to fulfill a mitzvah. It means someone did an avera. I have a lulav agozel. I did an avera. Because of the avera, the lulav is, I have a kinyan gzela on the lulav. So the label, the lulav is labeled as a chefta shal avera. I did an aver already, and the lulav is labeled as chefta shal aver. So that's the halach. A chefta shal aver cannot serve as a chefta shal mitzvah. And the lashon of the Gemara is eikategen asas anek. Since it's a chefta shal aver, it cannot serve later on as a chefta shal mitzvah. So if you have treif matzah, it's not a chefta shal aver. It's treif. No one did any aver. Have tevel. It's not a chefta shal aver. It's macholas asur, it's okay, but it's not a chefta shal. It's only called a chefta shal avera. Let's say you have a lulav shal asheira. So somebody worshipped avodah zara, and because he worshipped avodah zara, the lulav shal asheira becomes also bahana. So the avera leaves a rosha. Usually, when you do an avera, I carry something on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi gives an example. A guy wants to have the seder in the park, but there's no erev, and he carries the matzah to the park. Leil HaSeder is going to have a Seder in the park. So he violated Hoytzor. He violated Hoytzor on Shabbos, Yechayv Misa, Yechayv Koris, Yechayv Misa, but it doesn't label the matzah that you carried in the street as a chefta shal aveira. It's the chefta with which you did the aveira of Hoytzor. It's not like lulav agozel if it's metaltalim, so you had a kinyan gzela on it. It's called the lulav agozel. Hashera is called osa ba'anah, but if it's you just carry on Shabbos, he did an avera, but the chefta is not a chefta shal aveira. So that's the question over here. If you eat matzah shal tevel, you did an avera, and the avera enabled you to fulfill the mitzvah. But maybe that's Tosis' definition of mitzvah about avera. That's why Tosis is bothered with the kasha. One should say, why did Gemara give a whole talk about the Issa Chavalis, a whole story? Gemara should have said a different reason. It's mitzvah about avera. According to Tosis, it's a very good kasha. But according to the Yerushalmi, maybe that's the answer, that it doesn't apply over here. Maybe it's not called the Chavetz Shal Aver. Yeah, we learned the Gemara yesterday that you're not permitted to be lost the Yisa the Poshra. You're not allowed to use warm water because it could be Memahel Ahmed. We saw the Gemara later. Up until a mil, there's a discussion how many minutes is a mil. So we said the Mishnah Berurah always says, whenever it comes up, he says a mil is 18 minutes. So Professor Leo Levy points out in his book, Leo Levy used to teach here. He used to teach physics here in Yeshiva College. He lived in the neighborhood. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he became the head when Professor Lev retired from Machon Lev. So then he took over, he became the head of Machon Lev. So he put out a book on Zmanei Hayom B'Halocha. And so he explains in his long Arichas, he quotes that the Achronim said that it's 18 minutes, we're using a different time system. And in our language, it's really 22 and a half minutes. So there's a Gemara later, on Daf Mem Vavim at Aleph. The Gemara says, if you mix flour with water, the first couple of minutes, if all the conditions are normal, it's not that there's poshrim, there's no hot water there, you're not mixing with hot water, and it's not that the room is very hot, if it's room temperature, everything is normal. So for the sheer mil, for the first sheer, the first 22 and a half minutes, there won't be any problem. The reason why they have 18-minute matzahs is because they're working on the assumption that a sheer mil is 18 minutes. And less than 18 minutes, it can't become chametz if it's normal conditions. So that's why it's a heder to have 18-minute matzahs. For many years, the students always used to go to Streit's matzahs bakery, and they used to only take, the SOY students used to take only the first 18 minutes of matzah. Yeah. The oven is hotter after the first 18, the oven is much hotter, so it bakes better after the first 18 minutes. But less than 18 minutes, less than a sheer mil, it can't become chametz. Then, after the sheer mil is up, then you discuss what is going to become chametz. So again, so you shouldn't be lush b'poshim because it may become chametz earlier. And you shouldn't be lush if there's heat in the room, you shouldn't be lush. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, in Hilchos Pesach it says, if you knead the dough, you should hasten to bake the dough in the oven. You shouldn't dilly-dally. So why do you have to hasten? You have 22 and a half minutes. You have 18 minutes. What's the rush? So the Mefarshim explain, because the body temperature is 98 degrees temperature. And if you're kneading dough, so your hands you're handling the dough with your hands. So the dough is going to be more than room temperature because you're using your hands. So it's like if you're using poshrim or if the room has heat in the room, that it's going to be Mai Bahachmetz after you did the Lisha with your hands, so it may be Mai Bahachmetz, so that's why you have to rush. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's all baloney, because I think the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the Torah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba says when he was a student, he learned by the Ramban lived in Girona, in Spain, and the Rashba writes, when he learned by the Ramban, they would knead the dough, the base of Shal HaRamban, and then they would walk out in the street and carry the dough down the block. They didn't have their own oven. They have to have an oven that has, they had their own oven to cook food all year long. But to bake matzahs, you have to have an oven that can go till 1,000 degrees temperature, not just 400 or 500 degrees. So they used to rent the right to use the oven by the guy. So they used to walk down the block and the sun was shining and they wouldn't run. They would walk down the block and it's springtime. It's not so cold outside, it's warm outside. They walk down the block leisurely and then they would bake the dough. So the Chazon Ish says, when it says in Shulchan Aruch that after you knead the dough, you should hasten to bake it, hasten means within 18 minutes. You shouldn't pause 18 minutes. He says, we have no right to be machmer more than the Ramban did. Rabbi Shavel, Zechayna Lebracha, who did a lot of work on the Ramban, he put out the Kol Kisvi HaRamban, he put out the Ramban Al HaTorah and other things. So he put out a biography of the Ramban. So he writes that before he put out the biography, he went to visit Girona, and he says the tour guide showed him. The rabbi's house is still on the corner of the street, and the bakery is down the block. They still have the labels. I remember when I visited Spain, so we went to visit Girona. So I asked the tour guide, where did the Ramban live? He said, no, nobody knows where the Ramban live. I said, but Rabbi Shavel said that there's a sign on the building. So he started looking, there was a sign. I don't know Spanish, but he said, the sign said that that's where the rabbi lived on the corner of the block. Then when we were looking at the end of the block, we couldn't find the other sign that said this is where the bakery was. But Rabbi Shavel writes that when he toured in Girona, It was down the block, and that's it corresponds to what the Rashba said. So the Chazon Ish thinks that this is an incorrect chumrah. He says you don't have to rush to bake it. Normal. You have 18 minutes, there's no problem. Yeah, the Jews very often didn't have their own ovens to bake. They had to rent to bake their own food all year long. They had, but to bake matzahs, they have to have a much hotter oven. The Jews were always in business to make money, and bakers don't make so much money. You go into business, you make money. So the Jews were not in that business. In fact, there's a chumrah from Rashi. Now it's a Hasidish chumrah that you have. For the Seder, he used matzahs that were baked on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Why? Because Shechitas HaPesach has to take place on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. And Rashi says, Rashi and the Gemara doesn't say, but the Rishonim quote in the name of Rashi, that the Gemara says that there's a hekesh. The Gemara says that there is a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. So Rashi understands the Hekesh tells you that just like the Korban Pesach has to be, you have to shech the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, you have to prepare the Korban Pesach after Chatzos Erev Pesach, so that you have to prepare the matzah Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The whole Mesichta is not so. We're learning the guy's going to use Chavos Toda, Rikike Nozir, the whole Mishnah. It's by Sesheni, it's Bikurim. It doesn't say he baked it Erev Pesach. He baked it a month before. He baked it way before. Pashup Shat, the whole Mesichta is not so. The Rashi says, yeah, till you get to the end. Once you get to the end, and the Gemara speaks about this Hekesh between Korban Pesach and the Matzah, so not only does the Hekesh apply to this Man Achila, the Gemara says it, there's a Machloikas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Loza, and Azariah. The din is, Ena Pesach Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by midnight. So that's a Machloikas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Loza, and Azariah. Is that a din deraisa, a din derabbanim? So Rabbi Kiva thinks that it's only a din med the rabbanik, and they'll hachik and saw them in Avera. If you'll allow people to continue eating the Korban Pesach all night long till Alos HaShacha, Alos HaShacha is very dark outside. Very dark outside. It's very hard to know. So people will think that it's still Laila. They won't realize it's already Nisa Karis. It's already Alos HaShacha, and the Korban Pesach is nicer. If you eat nicer, you chayv Karis. So the medic Zer de Rabbanan, Eftach HaTzoisi, now about to eat the Korban Pesach. That's Rabbi Kiva's sheep. Abdullah Manazari disagrees. Abdullah holds no, it's a din deraisa. Lachos habasa balayla hazeh. Balayla hazeh is a connotation of by chatzos, because it says by makas b'chos. Avad the beret and sign balayla hazeh. The case of b'chor beret and sign. The other mad beima. So that was at chatzos. Just like makas b'chos, balayla hazeh was at chatzos. So too the korban pesach, you have to eat it by chatzos. A din deraisa. What's the difference whether the din deraisa, whether the din of chatzos? By Korban Pesach is a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. The difference is there's a hekesh between Korban Pesach and Achilas Matzah. A matzah semraim yochluhu. You should eat the Korban Pesach together with the matzah. So if the din of chatzos is a din deraisa by the Korban Pesach, then it carries over to the matzah. It's a hekesh. But if the din by Korban Pesach is only a midirabbanan, because if it'll wait too long, it'll be chayv kares. If you by mistake eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, when it's pitch black outside, it's very dark outside, it'll be Chayv Karis. So that's only by Korban Pesach, by Matzah. What's the big avera? If you eat Matzah after Alos HaShachar, you ate before davening. You're not about to eat before Shachris. No. It's a question whether it's Anisa Deraisa. Pash Bishat Tzomei Anisa Derabana. If you hold that the obligation to daven every day is only by the Rabbanim, so how can you say that the Anisa Deraisa to eat before you daven? You have mechuyif to daven min haTorah. According to the Rambam, you mechuyif to daven once a day, every day min haTorah. The Gemara says tefillah is the Rabbanan. That means three times a day in the particular nusach haTefillah. That's the Rabbanan. But the obligation to daven once a day, every day is a din deraisa. So the Meiri writes on that Gemara and Sanhedrin, Dav Sama Gimel, I think Meiri writes according to the Rambam that tefillah b'chol yom once a day, every day is deraisa. It could well be that this prohibition, the Gemara says, L'soch l'aladam, l'soch l'kodim sh'tispal l'aladimcha, you're not allowed to eat before davening. According to the Rambam, could be that it's an Issa deraisa. But the Pashto says, even according to the Rambam, the Pashto says that it's only an asmach, it's not a real. The Gemara has other interpretations of the pasuk. So the Gemara is clear like that. If you hold that chatzos is only mid the Rabbanah by the Korban Pesach, then it does not carry over to matzah. Then you can eat the matzah even after chatzos. So, how do we pasken? Do we pasken like Rabbi Kiva? Do we pasken like Rabbi Lozman Azariah? So that's a machloikis harishayim. That's a machlokes of Rishayim. So lechatchila, why? Because there's a stam Mishnah in Ezer Mekoyma. The Mishnah says haPesach in Anechal Ala Chatzos, Pesach Anechal Ala Menuyev Ala Tzoli, and so on. And the Gemara says the fact that the Mishnah has it in a double negative, Ein Anechal Ala At Chatzos, sounds like it's a real din deraisa, more serious din. If it would only be the Rabbanan, they wouldn't have written it with such a strong losha with the double Ein Anechal Ala At Chatzos. They would have said Ochel Moso Kodem Chatzos. Ein Anechal Ala Chatzos sounds like it's a din deraisa, like the other two, Ela Menuyev Ala Tzoli. Yeah. So some Rishonim, some Balat, they say halachic is Tam Mishnah. The Tam Mishnah is El Mekayma. That's printed in the Siddur before Baruch Shamar. Sounds like we pass like Abdozim and Azarda. It's a Menatar. And others say, no, we pass like Rebbe Akiva. The Kloli Apsak, we pass like Rebbe Akiva against Abdozim and Azarda. So that's a shadow. They have to be makbid to finish everything, to finish eating everything by Chatzos. So the Balei HaTosfos, many of the Balei HaTosfos were grandchildren, descendants of Rashi, Kroivim of Rashi. So they all observed this Chumrah of Rashi, that you have to bake the matzahs Erev Pesach in the afternoon. But what do you do if Erev Pesach is Shabbos, like this year? Erev Pesach Shchol is B'Shabbos, so you bake. So the Shchitas HaPesach is Dech HaShabbos. So what are you going to say? The baking of the matzahs Dech HaShabbos? So no one, Rashi is not going to say that. So Rashi says, no, you bake the matzahs, Leil HaSeder. So the Vilna Gaon next part of the whole thing in the Bir HaGrah. You can't shech the Korban Pesach Balayla. So the Vilna Gaon did away with the whole Chumas Rashi. He doesn't hold from it. So today, the only ones who observe the Chumas Rashi are by the Hasidim. So people treat it as if it's a Chasidus Shel Chumah. Not a Chasidus Shel Chumah. It used to be the whole world. All of the descendants of Rashi. Rashi wasn't a Chasidus Shel Rebbe. All the descendants of Rashi, the Ola Choshish for Rashi. Everyone used to observe until the Vilna Gaon did away with it. So now it's because the Chassidim don't follow the Vilna Gaon. So that's why it became a Chassidish practice. But it used to be, all Ashkenazim used to be careful about this Chumrah of Rashi. So Rashi holds that if it's Erev Pesach, Shacholi is B'Shabbos, you have to bake the matzahs, Leil HaSeder. But the Jews never had their own oven to bake. They always had to go by the Goyim. You have to have an oven that has... If it's going to be an oven like we have, then it's going to get hot. The heat of the oven will cause it to become chametz before it'll get baked. We have to have a hotter oven. Our ovens only go approximately 500 degrees. You have to have an oven that goes 1,000 degrees. We don't have that at all. So the Jews used to rent the right to use the Goy's oven on Matzoy Shabbos. But the problem was, where the Balei HaTosfos lived, the Goyim were Christians, and they used to observe there was Shomer Shabbos on Sunday. So not only would they not bake, they wouldn't, Eichel Nefesh is also on Shabbos, only Mut on Yom Tov, so they wouldn't cook or bake on Sunday. And it was Hayon Halach Achar Alayla, they wouldn't do Malacha Leil Matzoy Shabbos, and they wouldn't do Malacha on, Matzoy Shabbos belongs to Sunday, the day of rest, they wouldn't do Malacha on Sunday. Not only would they not do Malacha, Amir Ali Yisrael is also, they wouldn't rent their oven to the Jew either. So how the Jews going to bake the matzahs? So they would always find one Christian in the city who wasn't so frum, and they wouldn't snitch on him. And if they paid him enough money, he would allow you to use his oven, because he's running a risk. He may get into trouble if the other guy find out that he was Mechallel Shabbos. So they describe it. The Balei HaTosfos describe it. They wouldn't begin to bake the matzahs till Leil HaSeder Tzeisach HaChavim. You have to wait till Shabbos is over. And then they had to bake in shifts. So some of the families didn't get to bake the matzahs till after midnight. So they started to say a doomsday. It was at 2 o'clock in the morning when they started. Because you can't begin to bake the matzahs until after Abdullah, until after Tzeisach HaChavim. You have to say Abdullah Nishman Esrei. Yeah. The Balei HaTosfos, they live with the Christians. Anyway, so that's about the baking by the Goyim. So the Gemara had this, Alamed Bava Manal, the Gemara has a machlekes, Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Yosi Aglili, can we use matzah shel bikurim? Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it's no good, the last five lines in the Amud, because you have to have matzah and achelas b'chol my Shabbos. And Bikurim is not necha b'chol my Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva in the original Brisa says that it's okay. Rabbi Akiva in the original Brisa says it's not okay. Matzah shel bikurim is not good, but for a different reason. He doesn't hold from the reason of Homa Shvasechem. He gives a different reason that's a hekesh between matzah and mor. Ma mor sheni bikurim, af matzah sheni bikurim. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ma mor sheni bimina bikurim, the last line of Lamed Vav and Aleph, af matzah sheni bimina bikurim. So then, otzi chita mesorim sheish bimina bikurim. That's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says chita mesorim is good. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva backed out. Okay. So here's a question on the top line on Lamed Vav on the base. The Gemara had Rabbi Akiva entertains a halamina that you can't use for matzah something that's mina bikurim, just like morer ain't the mina bikurim. Bikurim is only the shivas aminim shemishtapchem emeretz yisrael, and bikurim is not one of the shivas aminim. It's a vegetable. It's not a fruit that grows. It's not from the shivas aminim at all. So according to the halamina that chita mesorim is no good for matzah. So how can you make matzah? So you're going to make matzah from the other, not wheat and barley, from the others, oats, rice, stuff, from the others. So that's a question. When the Chumash says he bring the kurim from the Shivas Aminim, chita sar, eret chita sar, get min chita sar, that's all? Or all the chameshes, min edokim, perhaps are included in chita sar. Like the Gemara said on Laman Heim and Aleph, some of the others, kusmish, above the shon l'shipan, some of them are subcategories of chitim, some of them are subcategories of sa'orim. So when the Chumash lists up the shivas aminim, shemishtabchem b'meretz yisrael, two of the aminim are chitim asorim, does it only mean chitim asorim, or does it include also all the hameshes minyadot? So that's a machlokes achrayim, quoted by the Magen Avraham. Why does the Magen Avraham talk about it? We don't bring bikurim bizman. Is that the answer is, there's a din in the Gemara, brachas, that's quoted halacha ma'isim shulchan aruch. If you're eating a you have a whole bunch of foods on the table and you're interested in eating everything in no particular order. If you have a meal and first you have the fruit cup and then comes the soup and then comes whatever, the vegetable salad, and then comes the main course. So you eat in order. But there's no order. There's no order. You have all the food on the table. You can eat it whatever seder you want. There's no particular seder. So then the Gemara has the Seder is called Kodim Epas and Kodim Lebracha. It says, Eretz Chita Sarah Gefen Tenev Rima and Eretz Zeshem and Rosha. Chita comes first, and then Zayas comes second, then Sarah comes third, and Dvash Tamarim comes fourth, and then Gefen Tenev Rima. That's the system. Whatever is closer to Eretz Kama and so on. So the Shaila is, when it says Chita, when it says Sarah, does it only mean Chita? And then Sora means Sora? Or do you say no? Included in the Chita Sora are the subcategories also. All the Hameshes bin Yedogan are included in Chita Sora. So Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes. So that's the Machlokes here, the Maharsho and the Maharshal. How to read the top Tosfos. Somehow the Maharshal, we don't have it in the Maharshal on the bottom of the page. Because whatever Haggos the Maharshal suggested, and they put it into the Gemara already, so they left it out from the Maharshal. So we don't know exactly what the Maharshal said. He corrected the Tosfos somehow, and that it doesn't read the way we have. But the Maharshal says no. Tosfos says the kasha, and they don't give an answer. And that's what the Aderis was Rabbi Cook's chief Rabbi Cook's first father-in-law. He married the daughter of the Aderis, so the old Dali Rabinovich told him. So the Aderis put out, when he lived in Herzl, he found a ksav yad of the Tosfos Shantz on Psochim. So he put it out with her, or so he points out that the way it says in Tosfos Shantz is exactly what the Maharsho said. The Tosfos asked the kasha, and they don't give any teretz. Every so often you have such a Tosfos and Shantz. They ask a kasha, and they don't have an answer, and they go baita. They go baita. That's a famous story about the Ragachava. Someone asked the Ragachover, he had a whole shtick of Torah. That Tosfos has the Kashin, doesn't give the Teretz. So he gave the Teretz on Tosfos Kashin. Therefore, he came up with the Chiddush Din, Halacha L'Maaseh. So the Ragachover sent him back, look in the Tosfos here, look in the Tosfos there, look in the Tosfos. They had nothing to do with anything. So they didn't understand what was he mitzayin. So he was mitzayin every time Tosfos says Akasha, and they don't have an answer, and they go Vaita. You don't stop learning. You don't stop because you have Akasha. Tosfos has a lot of time. They have a kasha and they go vaita. So he said, just because Tosfos didn't give an answer, You're not mechuyev to give your answer. Maybe there's a different answer. How can you base a psak aloch on your answer that faces kashia? So that's the shaila here. So the Maharsha says, Maharsha didn't have the ksav yad. The Aderes printed it. In the ksav yad of the Tosfos Shas, it says what the Maharsha said. Tosfos has a kashia, they don't have a teret. So Tosfos understood that chita misorim includes all the chameshes minidogan. And they wrote, all the subcategories of chitim are included in chitim, all the subcategories of sarim is included in sarim. And you bring bikurim from all the chameshes minidog, not just from chitim to sarim. And the Marshal thought not so. The Marshal, that this changed the gifts and the tesis, we don't know exactly how. He reread the tesis that it should come out that that only chitim to sarim are from the chameshes minidogan and the others are not. Yeah, then we spoke about, we mentioned about lechem oni, lechem sha'anim, all of dvarim harbei, Shmuel's comment. That's on the top, it's around 15 lines for the top of Amid Vavim and Allah. Well, and then the Gemara lekamon, kuf tezvavim beis, quotes Tanya Rami Yochid. There's a brisa that says like that. Shmuel didn't invent it. Shmuel heard there's a brisa floating around in the air, and then the Gemara quotes that brisa. Lechem sha'anim, all of dvarim harbei. What does it refer to? The Rashi says, yeah, tell Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim, Shigam Malav Sahalo, Vamim Malav Hagoda. You have to have the matzah exposed the whole time. You have to have the prusa. That's why we do yachatz in the beginning, to have Madaka Shalani with prusa. You have to have Lechem Oni, Lechem Sha'an Malav Dor Marbe, should be Lechem Oni, not a matzah shir, should be a prusa when you tell the whole Hagoda. But then Rashi says also, Gam Malav Sahalo. You finish the challah very often after you bench. So you put away all the matzahs. None of the matzahs are exposed. So Rashi sounds like the proper practice should be, you should have the matzah exposed. You should have the prusas exposed at the time that you complete the challah also. That is a chiddush. Lechem sha'anim all of dvarim harbei. Yeah, then we started a topic. We mentioned the pasuk in the Teichach says, "Va'ofu esa noshim lachmechem v'tanu echot." Where does the Gemara have the pasuk? Maybe it is on Lamed Zayin on the base, about 13 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes that pasuk. The pasuk is not telling on any mitzvah. They're just telling a Teichach that there'll be such a scarcity of food, 10 women will be able to bake at the same time. Each one has a mashuhu of dough. So 10 women will bake their bread at the same time. But the Gemara learns out from every word in the Chumash. So you learn out from this pasuk, lechem ha'ofer betana kori lechem. If it's not ha'ofer betana, it's not called lechem. So what is that halachem? What is that halachem? So that's the big machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, where the Maisa Ilfis is called lechem anah. Maisa Ilfis means I have dough, and I put the dough in a pot. And then instead of putting the pot in the oven, and there's heat all over the place, I put it on top of the burner, on top. And it'll cook, it'll bake. So if you have, let's say, you kneaded dough, and then you cook it with bishul, with reuter, with mashkin. So that's called bishul. So that alpi pashtus, that's not called, that's, this is called Yerushalmi. If you have Ayidei Reitev, if you have Mashkin, that's called Bishul, that's not called an Afiyah. The Machlek Zabiach Mishlokish is Maisa Ilfis, but there's no liquid there. And if it's here Tiach of the Besof Hidbik, at first he heated the Kli. If he heated an empty Kli, you heat the Kli in the oven, then you take it out and you put the dough into the burning hot kli, and then you put it on top of the fire. So since it was hirtiach, the lebesof hidbik, he put in the dough after he first heated the baking tin, then even Reish Lakish will agree that that's chai b'chal. But when is there machlokes? If hidbik lebesof hirtiach, he put the dough into the cold kli, and then he put the kli on top of the stove, on top of the fire, but there's no reuter there. But that's machlokes, abiyach Reish Lakish, is that called Afir b'taner? Maybe the word taner in the pasuk is labdavke. It means that it should be b'li roitev. If you're going to do afir b'chama, That the Gemara says for sure. A Mevashel B'chama is not called Bishal on Shabbos. If you cook, if you, sometimes you live in the Sahara Desert, so it's so hot, so you can do afir in the sun. So the Gemara says on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Gemara says if you cook something B'chama, then everyone agrees. Kon Shafon B'chama P'tur. Then they're not Chai Ben Chala. That's for sure. But the question is, how does this Gemara compare to the Mishnayos and Challah? Normally, when you mix flour with water, you make a dough, you mafish Challah right away. Oh, you didn't do the Afiyah yet. So how come you mafish Challah right away? So the Rabbi Natan comes up with this fantastic opinion. And this Tesis appears not only here, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, it appears in Brachas also, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. It happens to be the same Daf in Brachas. And they explain many Gemaras all over the place. Everything fits in with this Rabbi Natan, and we don't pass him like this Rabbi Natan. We pass him like the Ramban and disagrees. Rabbi Natan says he can't be mafresh challah till after he already has the shem lechem. So if you have blila over, if you did lisha, then he already has the shem lechem, even if you're going to do a bishul later. If it's a blila raka, there was no lisha, so then only gets a shem lechem after you bake it. So then you can't be mafresh challah till after you bake it. You can't bake it al shem ha'asid. You can't be mafresh challah al shem ha'asid. According to the Rabbi Natan, you can't be mafresh challah because it's going to become lechem. It has to already be lechem. See, if it has a blila ovo, so the Rabbi Natan holds, you can be mafresh challah right away. If it's a blila rako, then it's only going to get to shem lechem. If you're going to do an afir b'tanur, so then you can only begin to be mafresh challah after you bake it. And his ra'i is from the Gemara in Bava Kamma and in Sanhedrin, in the first paragraph, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, but say berach ni'etz Hashem, the ganav stole something, and then he says a bracha when he's doing a mitzvah, and then it's he thinks that he's blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he's megadef es Hashem. But say a berach, the gadef says a bracha, ni etz Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't accept it as a blessing, he considers it a bizoyin. So what did the ganav do? So the Gemara says, HaReishu gozol sor shel chitim, he stole a bushel of wheat. He grinds it up, so you're kind of bishinui. You grind up, you're kind of bishinui. Then he mixes the flour with water, he makes a dough, and then he bakes it, and after he bakes it, he's mafresh challah, and he says a bracha, so betzeh berach ni'etz Hashem. So Rabbi Natan, so the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin, asks the question, the guy is a ganav, ben adam l'chaver, but ben adam l'mokim, it looks like he is religious, so why is he waiting to be mafresh challah till after he bakes it? Everybody's always mafresh challah when they mix the flour with the water. So he says, it must be that he did a blila rako. So it doesn't have a shame lachem till after the afiyah. After the afiyah, that's what the din is. The ganav knows the din. You can't be mafresh challah till after you do the afiyah. So the shach says, l'chatchila, we should be choshish for the Rabbi Natan shita, that if you have a blila rako, you shouldn't be mafresh challah till after you do the afiyah. But mikra din, Shulchan Aruch Paskin is against the Rabbi Natan. So we'll have to go daven mincha, but next week, believe me, we'll start from here. Okay.